ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Yeah, I'm pretty chilled. I think I've learned a lot over my journey, and the couple of times that I've stood in for Paddy, I've tried to be pretty relaxed and let the game play, and obviously I've got to do it my own way out there and have my own style.
Cricket and chill. That is Steve Smith, who will lead Australia in the Ashes opener, speaking about how he has evolved as a captain. Feels like quite the moment for the 36-year-old from a leadership perspective, given the series he has missed from a captaincy standpoint after Sandpapergate. He will lead a side with two debutants in Brendan Doggett and Jake Weatherald, with Bo Webster dropped for the series opener. And on the cusp of the Ashes, we're going deep on Smith and Australia. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Gideon Hague is a cricket writer and podcaster with Cricket Ed's Owl. He's here to talk the Ashes with us. Gideon, the series opener, we're on the cusp of it. From an Aussie perspective, I feel like we've got to start with those who won't be playing in Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood. To your mind, does it somewhat underline this series in the sense that it feels like kind of the end of a version of an Australian side that we've just known for so long?
Well, no team goes on forever, and perhaps some of this regeneration is overdue. I mean, but you can't really resist the dictator of performance. You know, this has been an outstanding team that that hasn't compelled a turnover in its ranks. But Anno Domini always takes the final word. It is interesting that I think the first time since January 2019 that an Australian team will be fielding potentially two debutants in a Test match. I mean, that's a remarkable record. It would be the envy of most other countries.
What do you make of those likely debutants? I mean, I heard Jason Gillespie compare Brendan Doggett to a greyhound. Jake Weatherald has the kind of exuberance of a man not yet jaded by the grind of international cricket. What do you suspect we'll see from the two in Perth?
Yeah, they're two good picks, I think. They're two players who've done their time, who've earned their stripes the way that Australian cricketers traditionally have. You know, they're actually in their early 30s, which is unusually late for a debut, but they've been really outstandingly well-performed domestic cricketers in the best traditions.
And he's bowled him. Doggett's got four. Bird takes the walk. He's out for one. Tasmania and nine for 202. What a peach.
And I think their selections speak for themselves.
One who has waited for his turn over and over and over is Scott Boland. He looms as increasingly crucial. England's made no secret of the plan to go after the softly spoken Victorian. It's one thing to be shining when you're coming as the extra, but to start the series with the new ball, to your mind, is this the kind of series that could define Boland in sort of two very different ways?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think he's already defined. he's one of the most self-defining cricketers of his generation. It is interesting that he finds himself in a different role as a kind of an attack leader in this ensemble. His experience of playing cricket in Australia will be relied upon. The experience that he's accumulated over the last few years will be important in a relatively callow attack. I watched him bowl at the Junction Oval a couple of times this season. Boy, he's as good as ever.
Oh, what a delivery! Boland gets conscious again. That is a beauty from Boland.
I know that at 36 he's unusually old for an Australian seamer, but he just seems to be getting better and better.
Why do you think the English consider him something of a weakness when it's so apparent to Australian viewers or Australian eyes from what we've seen that he is such a strength?
I think a lot of these things can be explained by the fact that there's been no cricket on, but there's been an amount of media space to fill with speculation. I'm not sure that England feel the same way as the media do about Boland's vulnerability. I think if you're an England player who'd faced him in 2021-22, you'd have a pretty high estimate of his abilities.
Boland's on his way, bowls to Robinson. It's edge of court. Boland's got six. It's a fairy tale.
Speaking of filling column inches, Mitchell Starc did a job for us overnight with a jibe at Cricket Australia saying,
"Don't listen to players, we would have liked to start in Brisbane too."
And that was in regards to starting the series in Perth over Brisbane. I feel like Mitch increasingly has a lot to say. It's always welcome from the Fourth Estate. What do you think about the fact that they are starting in Perth?
Well, we missed a bit of Test cricket in Perth during COVID, so in some ways they're playing catch-up. I'm sorry that we won't be playing at the Wacker because it used to be my favourite Australian ground. But I can sort of understand that it's actually more convenient to start in the west and work your way east. I can also sense the attractions of that stadium. You know, Australia's record there is very good. You know, we lost to India last year. Before that, we'd won all four. It's potentially as happy a hunting ground as the Gabba.
Of all the storylines, I just can't help but being constantly drawn to Steve Smith this summer. I know that he's led this team post-Sandpapergate and done so well on six occasions, I think, for five wins and a draw. But to be taking the captaincy to start this series, it feels like such a moment for this player at the point of his career. 36 years of age, he looks in tremendous form, averaging 56 in Test cricket, 59, nearly 60 in Australia. Surely this summer, from the small sample of warm-ups that we've seen, it feels like it's got all the ingredients of a masterpiece, doesn't it, for Smith?
Yeah, and don't forget, he averages 68 as captain, which is just extraordinary. And, you know, watching him during that last Sheffield Shield round, he is playing a different quality and brand of cricket to anybody else.
Down the pitch he comes. That's got a lot of height and enough distance to go all the way. Elliot watches it sail over his head.
It's interesting that we are seeing a slightly different version of Smith to that which we're used to.
I'm a lot more relaxed these days, chilled and, you know, let the guys go about their work.
We're accustomed to the idea of him being a complete cricket glutton who just who dined out on throwdowns, had to have 1,000 throwdowns a day. He's taken a much more relaxed approach going into this series.
I'm not going to pretend to know what his approach about batting is. I think he's a lot more relaxed as a person all round, I think.
Spent a couple of months in New York, just wandered back into the Sheffield Shield and peeled off an easy 100.
He punches it down the ground. He just wanted the single. That was enough. It takes Steve Smith to 100 runs. He removes the helmet, salutes the crowd.
He looks in a good place. I think he's just quietly, he's coveted the Australian captaincy, not in an avaricious sense over the last few years, but he feels as though it's a place where he belongs. When he captained Australia in those two test matches in India in 2023, I don't think I've ever been so impressed with him. He didn't make a huge number of runs, but he absolutely relished the challenge. He's got a wonderfully intuitive cricket intelligence.
Do you get a sense that he just enjoys the tactical acumen side of things? Like that there's an acknowledgement from him almost on a very understated level that he's just very good at that side of things, yeah. And it's kind of a shame he doesn't get to do it more, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's a different style of captain to Pat Cummins. Pat Cummins has done a lot, I think, to enhance the off-field culture and the sense of togetherness and camaraderie, getting players to express themselves, getting players to play a brand of cricket that they're comfortable with. But Smith, I think, he's got an extraordinary cricket mind. You know, he will be a fantastic match for Ben Stokes, who captains in a completely different way.
Do you see a parallel at all between Adam Gilchrist and him leading against India for that famous series in the Ponting era and what Smith might do here in a series that is equally significant?
Oh, there's parallels everywhere. I don't think you never run short of parallels in Test cricket. That's one of the wonderful things about it. So, you know, it always feels like at some level it's happened before.
Speaking of golden children or, you know, golden talents, Cam Green, I feel like he has been about to arrive for kind of ever, averages 34 with the bat, two test centuries. He looks as though he will be preferred to Bo Webster at six. Do you sense that we're getting yet another arrival from this tremendous all-round cricketer from Western Australia?
It's interesting, isn't it? He always seems like the answer to Australian cricket's last question. and I think because of the age of that attack, his overs, his ability to do donkey work in the middle of the innings has become that much more important. But don't forget that not that long ago he was being groomed as Australia's number three. And I suspect that in the long term he'll settle around about number four. So in a sense he's become a little Shane Watson-like in the sense that he is the guy who fills the gap that is perceived to exist at any particular time. Now, the reassuring thing is I watched him bowling in that in that Shield game against Queensland, and he was bending his back. He looked like a man who was confident.
Beautifully bowled, and Green has one. He's on the board. It's been a good spell so far from Cameron Green, and he richly deserves to get his first one this morning.
He bowled 16 overs in that game, and they were very good. So it's timely that he should have come back to full fitness at this moment. But it is a defining series, I think, for him. There's been a lot of investment, a lot of hype around him. And this is the Ashes, honestly, is where a cricketer can really make a name for himself. Don't forget, he lost his place in the Australian team during the last Ashes, the only time when he's actually been dropped for reasons of form.
I've got time for one more question. Would you prefer I ask you about Usman Khawaja or Manus Labuschagne, Gideon?
Well, they're both pretty good. Manus has made a remarkable Houdini-like escape from the trap of his run of bad form, and I think he's a banker. I do hope that he bats at number three. That's certainly where he has the opportunity to make the greatest contribution to this Australian team. Khawaja's interesting. You know, he will be 39 by the time we get to Sydney. There's a lot riding on these first two test matches for Khawaja. If he doesn't make runs, I do feel as though they're going to have to think about moving him on. We concentrated so much about, you know, David Warner's dwindling returns in the last few years of his career. It's almost as though Usman's own struggles got past us. I think it's one century in his last 44 test innings. That's not a sustainable record. Yeah, he has a lot to prove this summer, Usman Khawaja. I'd like to see him go out on his own terms, but, you know, sometimes cricket gets the last word.
And like Warner, he's trying to go out on his own terms with something of a farewell tour. As you say, Gideon, parallels, they're always there if we look for them. I can't wait for this Ashes series. Hey, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy covering it.
No worries. Thanks, Patrick.
Headlines. It was not just Steve Smith addressing media in Perth. Ben Stokes was also talking to press, and he was understated. That's probably the right word. England has named its 12-man squad, and some have been wondering whether they would select Jofra Archer and Mark Wood in the same 11. The latter had a bit of a hamstring scare while playing in the visitors' warm-up hit at Lilac Hill in Perth. Given his propensity to get injured, some wondered whether those 8 overs represent adequate preparation. I mean, he last played an international against Afghanistan in February in a white ball game. Stokes made it clear Wood will be ready if they select him.
I know you guys say he's only bowled 8 overs in the game, but you know, he's been bowling for a long, long time. He has always been someone who can just hit the ground running in a game, and he's bowling rapid.
And Wood is straight up terrifying when up and going. Imagine being Jack Weatherald on debut against that bloke. Oofed. The AFL draft went about as we expected, with West Coast taking Willem Dersma as per forecast with pick one. He was presented his jumper by Eagle star Harley Reid, which led to this question.
And you're a big superhero man. You read a lot of comic books. A bit of Batman and Robin with you and Harley next year?
Oh, I think, yeah, if I'm Batman.
Swagger. Love it. If that's Batman and Robin, who's the Joker? Mason Cox? Maybe. Hard to say. The best reaction of the night was the extended family and friends of Adam Swade, who was expecting to go to Essendon, was overlooked, and then snapped up by the Dockers at pick 25.
With pick 25, Fremantle select Adam
Swade. Yeah!
That's good, isn't it? Makes you smile. Well, the Roosters, in contrast, they're laughing. They have extended star and captain James Tedesco through to the end of 2027 with an extra year added to his deal. The 33-year-old just won a Dally M medal for best player in the comp, so feels like a good extension. A pretty grim story from the world of football with Tilly star Mary Fowler revealing she was the victim of racism while playing club football in France. The 22-year-old says other departing players at Montpellier were gifted flowers, but a teammate gave her and another departing teammate bananas. Fowler struggled with mental health challenges in her time at the club. This is a big story, and we will be going a little bit deeper on the pod on Friday because the headline feels insufficient. Vegas is the kind of city that can make or break a person, and that feels apt for Oscar Piastri. The Australian needs to shine in Sin City to stay in the hunt for an F1 world title. Team principal Zach Brown says the 24-year-old's fighting back after a bad run of form. Brown sounded more confident about overall leader and fellow McLaren driver Lando Norris, stating the Brit is in the best place he's ever seen him. I don't think he means Vegas. I think he means mentality. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Cricket Australia and Fox Footy for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.